The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Good morning, Anthony. How are you doing?
Boker Tov, Benji. Yeah, I was reading an interesting story about a kibbutz in the Golan Heights that usually goes by the name of Ramat HaShofet, kibbutz Ramat HaShofet, which literally means the judge's heights. And this is a kibbutz that was founded in 1941 and actually named after Julian Mack, who was a co-founder of the law review at Harvard Law School. But this week, the kibbutz has decided to rename itself just for the week from Ramat HaShofet to Ramat HaShofetet. And the significance is that Shofet is the word judge in a male context, and Shofetet is a female judge. And of course, this is in deference to Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who died on Erev Rosh Hashanah. Jewish justice at the age of 87 was still on the bench in the United States. And the kibbutz has decided to honor her memory by renaming their kibbutz just for the week. And they've got a new logo symbol that they've published with the face of Ruth Bader Ginsburg. So just a little piece in honor and in memory of Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who of course was very, very influential, both as a Jewish person and as a female judge on the U.S. Supreme Court.
Interesting sidebar on that, Anthony, is that there's a South African leader who's not Jewish with a kibbutz named after him, because Jan Smuts has a kibbutz named after him as well.
That is something that I wasn't aware of, but I'm going to look it up, and we'll perhaps talk a little bit about that tomorrow.
Yeah. In fact, there was a very interesting article a few years ago about leaders in Israel, foreign leaders who've had kibbutz named after them, Truman and all sorts of people. There's a long list, so very interesting. But more, shall we say, substantial news, Anthony, is that the coronavirus cabinet yesterday failed to reach a decision regarding the imposition of further restrictions.
So a 9-hour meeting yesterday resulted in no decision, which is an astonishing thing considering the amount of time that was spent debating the issues. And the main consideration that seems to be going around at this meeting, there are two main issues. First of all, what should be done about prayer services? Should there be some sort of a restriction on indoor gatherings for prayers, particularly considering that we have Yom Kippur coming up next week, and there is an expectation that there will be some sort of a coming together of people, a gathering of people over Yom Kippur? And the question is whether the government now will decide to somehow limit or restrict people praying together over Yom Kippur. The second issue is about public demonstrations. There's been an ongoing weekly demonstration held outside the Prime Minister's residence at Balfour Street in Jerusalem, Saturday nights regularly for the last few months, protesting both against the Prime Minister's legal battles, the charges that he's now facing with regard to corruption, and also protesting against the Prime Minister's handling of the coronavirus issue, which at the moment is not particularly good. More than 6,000 new cases diagnosed only yesterday. And after 9 hours of deliberation, there was no decision made. But it seems to me as if though it is quite likely that we will be moving to a situation later today when the announcement is expected that shuls will effectively be closed for Yom Kippur. That's what my personal expectation is. And the reason that I think that that's likely to happen is because the loudest person within the government circles, the person who is really the most against this particular idea of banning gatherings in the shul in the form of Interior Minister Ari Adeiri, has come out saying that the religious community will only be able to accept a ban on gatherings in shuls on Yom Kippur if the government also decides to ban the gathering for demonstrations. And I think that both are quite likely at the moment, even though I'm a little disappointed that we don't really have statistics about how many people were actually infected with the virus through demonstrations, as opposed to how many might have been infected by going to shuls. We do know that there's quite a lot of infection. There's quite a high infection rate from within the religious community, people going to shuls or yeshivas, people within the religious community gathering together. We do know that. Whether it's specifically from shuls, I'm not sure about. But we do know that there is certainly a relatively high infection rate. I'm not sure about whether we know about how many people might have been infected through gatherings, even though we do know demonstrations, at least, even though we've seen on TV that not everybody's wearing masks and not everybody's maintaining social distance. We've seen all of that. So obviously there is the possibility that people could be infected in that environment. But my expectation is that that is quite likely now to come out of the coronavirus cabinet later today, that both of those restrictions will be in place. In the meantime, in the background, the chief rabbinate or some rab, not the chief rabbinate, but some rabbis have already detailed how people should be acting over Yom Kippur with regard to the fast, whether people are showing symptoms of corona or whether people are not showing symptoms. One of the rabbis that I've read about has instructed people who are asymptomatic, but who have actually tested positive to actually fast. So the instruction right now is if you have no symptoms, even if you are tested positive, and this has come from Maran Rabbi Shlomo Rosenberg, who has said that if you are asymptomatic, you should fast. Whereas for people who are suffering from symptoms, there are different allowances that are made. So it's interesting to see that this has also come out. And just another little snippet along the whole coronavirus theme is that an Israeli company has come out with a special mouthwash COVID-19 screening test. So it's a test that apparently many of the European airports are now quite eager to adopt. The process is that you gargle with a small amount of the special mouthwash, you spit into a test tube. Within a few moments, whatever you've spat out can be tested and you can be diagnosed on the spot as to whether you have corona or not within a few moments. Apparently a test that's been undertaken at Sheba Hospital over the last month has involved 400 people has shown to be about 95% accurate. And because of the fact that it's relatively cheap, easy and quick, apparently something like 23 countries have already put in orders for their airport to bring the mouthwash there and to get passengers tested on the spot and to have results right away. So that's something new that's come out of a company called Virusite Diagnostic, and they are working in conjunction with the Sheba Medical Center at Tel HaShomer Hospital.
Anthony, I don't want to discuss too much more coronavirus now because there actually are some other issues I want to talk to you about. But it is interesting for me, and maybe you can look into this for us for tomorrow or the next day. You know, the death rate in Israel is relatively low. I mean, obviously no one wants
anyone
to die.
Unfortunately.
But you're talking about 1,000 people. Is this like, I'm just interested into why there's suddenly this like, there seems to be very serious concerns about what's going on. And I don't know if that's the infection rate or they're running out of hospital beds or whatever. But I do think that there's some interesting, you know, it'd be interesting to find out what the thinking is behind some of the stuff, as well.
Absolutely.
But yeah, we do have we've only got a few more minutes left. So let's just talk about the fact that Benny Gantz is in Washington meeting with some U.S. officials on defense-related issues, specifically this problem around now the UAE wanting F-35s, and how does that affect the balance of military capacity in the region?
Well, yeah, I mean, there are some questions being asked about why Benny Gantz is in Washington at all, because there were even some eyebrows raised about Prime Minister Netanyahu going to Washington last week to sign the so-called Abraham Accords with the United Arab Emirates and with Bahrain. And now a week later, with the infection rate continuing to rise, why is it considered necessary for Defense Minister Benny Gantz to be in Washington? We don't really have answers to that. And of course, the real substance of the discussions will never be made public. But some of the things we do know about, obviously there are some concerns about the United Arab Emirates, Abu Dhabi in particular, gaining access to these F-35s. It seems, from what I've gathered, to almost be a done deal, even though it's going to take quite a while until we actually see Emirati pilots in the cockpits of those F-35s. But it seems like it's almost a done deal. It's almost like it's going to happen, whether Benny Gantz is in Washington or not. But we do know that Benny Gantz has been meeting with many senior officials in Washington, including U.S. Minister, Secretary of Defense Mark Esper. He's also had some meetings with Jared Kushner and other senior officials as well. But we do know that Israel is in desperate need of trying to upgrade some of its capacity, particularly Air Force capacity, and they would like to have another F-35 squadron. They would need some more F-15 fighter jets. They need a few more refuelers and some helicopters. And so the question is whether Benny Gantz is talking to the U.S. about the possibility of Israel acquiring some of this equipment from the United States suppliers. It's not clear at the moment. And also, what's not clear is whether this has been done quite quickly now ahead of the presidential election, because the situation may be quite different once the election takes place in November. So those are probably the main issues, at least the ones that can be made public, about why Benny Gantz has decided he needs to physically be in Washington as opposed to doing things remotely, as most people are doing these days.
And then just before we finish, 1 minute, Anthony, another explosion in southern Lebanon.
Yeah, I mean, this is just becoming a bit of a joke, to be honest, with the Lebanese. But we understand that there's been a massive explosion in southern Lebanon, took place yesterday. And people were injured, even though it's not quite as serious as that massive blast that took place in the middle of Beirut a month or two ago. But this apparently is also Hezbollah related. And we understand that this blast has come from an arms depot, which was based in that southern Lebanon area, and which exploded for reasons which are not clear. Some newspapers have reported it as a technical error, I think is the way that they've described it, which caused this particular explosion. But what we're effectively seeing is that the way that Hezbollah has been stockpiling weapons and dangerous substances around Lebanon is really causing major danger to the innocent citizens within Lebanon. And now, of course, we're seeing the consequences of that. I mean, lots and lots of conspiracy theories about what came out of Beirut and how that blast actually took place. But it seems as if, though, Hezbollah need to take at least some responsibility for these explosions endangering human lives, which is really not a good thing for the Lebanese population at all.
Yeah, absolutely. Serious, serious stuff going on over there with Hezbollah. And Nirai, thank you so much for chatting to us. We'll speak to you again tomorrow on Heritage Day.
I look forward to it.
There we go. Anthony Reich there talking to us with the Israel Report. Just gone. 8 o'clock. Time for your news.
This is 101.9 High FM News.
In your headlines, a big explosion in southern Lebanon has destroyed what security sources say was a Hezbollah arms depot. And in Louisville, Kentucky, in the U.S., it's under a state of emergency as prosecutors are expected to announce if the police officers who killed Breonna Taylor will be charged. In South Africa, the Western Cape government has launched a business relief fund through which it will be committing 27 million rand to small businesses that have been affected by COVID-19. You're listening to High FM. Good morning. A big explosion in southern Lebanon has destroyed what's